We are national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee in a few minutes. It's Tuesday, which means Steve Aliquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG, also CEO of ClearSight Analytics. Some I like, some I don't like, but somehow, some way, he always hooks me in on the numbers.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but the other day we were talking about Bobrovsky and his shootout, his breakaway save percentage. Basically, I was saying, I think this guy's really good on breakaways. Florida gives up a pile of breakaways. It turns out Bob's not that great at it. Valley sent me a very thoughtful video to explain it to me, like the plebe that I am. And it's incredible the data this guy has. The amount of things you can click.
It does help when fourth liners are taking the breakaway.
It's Lorenz. It's breakaway season.
The Forsling back check on Lorenz when it seemed like it was, he took two strides and caught up to Lorenz, gets the stick in there, doesn't let him get a good shot away. Like it was.
Are you talking about the one game seven that he shot into Bob? Because Lorenz.
Not the Lorenz. The Lorenz one was a clean shoot into the chest.
Right, but he also had one earlier in the series that I thought maybe you were talking
about. The one that Lawton had, Forsling got back on the back check and disrupted him enough so he couldn't elevate it or whatever. God, Forsling's such a good player.
He made a good play on a Willy breakaway.
And on Lawton, I think, too.
Oh, and Lawton.
Yeah.
Not Lorenz. Okay.
No, Lawton on the back check.
Stanley Cup Conference. Just four teams left.
And shout out to our own Mark Spector, who noted that in the last 3 years, that means there's 12 spots in the Final Four, right?
Yeah.
10 of those have gone to these four teams.
Really? Yeah.
So it's Dallas's three straight years. Edmonton's been there three or four times.
And Carolina's
three times. Florida.
Wow.
And that starts tonight, game one, Florida Panthers at Carolina Hurricanes, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet. And already Matthew Tkachuk's pissing people off.
What do you do?
You sent a tweet about the room?
Yeah, the room. The media room is right beside their workout area.
Yeah.
So what did he do?
So
he caused a ruckus.
Yeah. As soon as the Jordan Stahl and I think Martinuk presser started, he was slinging the medicine ball against the wall to disrupt it because they're not pleased with where the workout spot is, nor should they. Or sorry, where the presser spot is.
This guy will do anything but score a goal to help his team, eh?
Oh, boy.
Oh, Sam, he's probably playing with half a groin.
Oh, just like Matthew said, everybody's playing hurt this time of year. Anyways, I can't stand
it. No passes from
I'm
the
so
key.
Sick. I'm so sick of
No passes.
Yeah.
Few sour grapes still there.
Absolutely. But I mean, that's just
a bunch of them.
A bushel?
A vineyard.
Yes, thank you. It's like a bushel of grapes.
I think that would have worked.
Okay,
bushel would have done.
So thanks. I'll ask Steve Aliquette, but before he joins us, just get your thoughts on the four goaltenders going into this conference. Has Skinner and Pickard in Edmonton given you enough faith that now that they'll go up against Ottinger?
I believe that their team is good enough to help them go up against them. And God, guys, Skinner's had you know, one thing I'm going to ask Valley when we get him on is what type of game works for Skinner and what type does Dallas play? Because Skinner, I believe, is a poor rush goaltender. If I listened to Valley correctly,
I think you're right.
Year.
That seems right.
And Dallas to me doesn't seem like a streaky speeding. It's Rantanen and Ben and Sagan and Duchesne and Robertson. Like it's not burners to me. So I think this may be a series that works for Skinner. He may come out of this one looking like gold.
Worked last year. Remember game six? They scored, I think they won 1-0. Didn't they give up 40 something shots in that game?
I have a weird hockey brain. I don't.
You don't remember that?
I'm like that with like maybe golf courses I've played. I don't remember the Oilers' sixth game of the conference final.
McDavid toe drag into the middle, backhand top corner, only goal of the game.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
That was a nice one too.
Scored really
from the
nice.
Left side
yes.
into pretty low, pretty low. Yeah.
And I think Skinner had a 50 or 40 save shutout in that game. So maybe.
Okay,
I don't know.
Bobrovsky versus Freddie Anderson on the other side.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Well, if Freddie Anderson or Stu Skinner win the Stanley Cup, there's going to be a lot of splaining to do for some people who wrote these guys off.
You think this is the year? Do you really believe that this is the year that Freddie sees this like right through without disappearing?
No.
He's still waiting. Valley, I don't believe for one second Valley thinks he's going to make it.
The one great thing about being a lifelong Freddie Anderson hater.
How do you be a Freddie hater?
Nah, because that's a strong word,
you can be
Sam.
Indifferent to
I'm a hater. I'm a hater. No, like, not like I hate him as a person.
Dislike.
I'm a hater. No. I've been like you. I
dislike.
Disliker is not a class.
He's a disliker.
Of people, though.
Okay, haters I'm a disliker.
Are.
And as a career disliker
Thank you.
Of Freddie Anderson, the advantage of it is all you really have to do is wait.
Yeah.
Because eventually. Something is
That's
coming.
That's true confidence that he can't come through.
All right, let's welcome him in. Steve Aliquette, CEO of ClearSight Analytics. Valley, how are you, pal? Thanks for joining us. Now, were you raised to know that hate's a strong word and, you know, your parents preferred dislike?
And you know what, Kipper? It's tough to bring the temperature up right now, so I wrote a eulogy for Sammy.
Oh, what the hell?
This is a story about the core four.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was a game seven to win, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Somebody got angry on the bench because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it. But nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody, and when nobody did what anybody could have done.
You absolutely did not write that.
Hey.
Where is that from? That's great.
Dr. Seuss.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Hey, listen,
Green
guys.
Eggs and ham.
We're not in the playoffs either. I've got lots of time on my hands.
Fantastic.
I found it. It's great. Charles
wow.
Swindle. That's
wow.
really good.
Okay.
What's the hat? Hold on. What's the hat? It's a great bucket.
Oh, this is my son's high school, Fairfield Prep.
Very cool. Like the under the brim, too. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So let's start where your expertise, I believe, is the strongest, and that is between the pipes. We've got four goalies between Ottinger and Skinner, let's just say, to start, and Freddie and Bob, who's trending highest here going into the final four?
The hothouse plant, Frederick Anderson. Do you guys know what a hothouse plant is?
Tomatoes?
No, hothouse plant. It's a saying that it's an expression, an old Italian expression, and you need perfect soil, sunlight, wind to grow.
Is that for everybody or somebody?
It's got to be your ball.
I'm wondering, I heard you before I came on, Kipper. I'm wondering if Freddie could push through here. I have had this in the back of my mind for 10 years. Before he joined Toronto, I had heard from one of his goalie coaches that he was the weakest of all goalies he's ever coached mentally. So that's always been in my head. Always been in my head.
Oh boy.
And when I find, you know, these instances where he has relief to bail, I wonder if he's going to push through, and I hope he does. I don't know. It's all mental for him. It's not all mental for everybody, but for him, it's all mental. But he's the highest performing goalie. He should believe in himself going into this, and it's going to be interesting to see if he can push through. But I don't think it's going to be a technical component that misses or misfires is the reason why Carolina gets eliminated. It'll be mental. But right now in the top, three is Ottinger. He's really come on. Now, do you guys remember the save that he made from the slot against Kyle Connor in the elimination game where he made it with his blocker? And it was a really nice pass from the corner. Second period, big blocker save. I'm sitting at home and I'm saying to myself, you know what? That's what goaltending looks like. Now, I back it up a little bit and I watch it again. And I still have a little bit of a question mark, which with how wide he gets. Wide is really important to me because when you get too wide, pucks seem to go through you, under you. If you're pre-scouted really well by a goalie coach from the opposition, they will know that when the goalie gets wide before the release, it is time to pass off pads or pass the puck. If you have to shoot it, it's under the hands. And that's where he's been weak a little bit. But overall, he's been really the second strongest performing goalie that's still eligible. Going down the list, everybody else seems to be about mid-margin, but Stuart Skinner in the shutouts that he had. Now, the final game, game five, he only faced one high danger chance, so it wasn't much of a game. Now, in the previous game, he had seven. That's the game where I watched at home and I said to myself, he has played deeper, he's coming across different, he's moving better, and he's moving less distance. But one thing that I thought that I saw that he changed was that he was, instead of opening up his skate for a T push, he was double shuffling. Now, why is that important? Because you're always square. If there's a broken play, the toe caps of your skates never open up, so you never have to close it back down. And he's getting across smoother. He's not a rush goalie, Borny. As you said before we got on, he's not. One of the worst over the last 5 years. But if he can help himself by backing up, playing deeper, beating pass, and Edmonton, and I can see why Connor McDavid was a little irked at the comment that, you know, we don't know how to defend. They've defended really well in the last few games, and specifically against shutting off the rush against.
Is there a specific type of game where Stu Skinner can look the best?
It'll be in zone.
And does Dallas do that?
Yeah, well, Dallas, so I was relatively interested in this. Dallas, they had a pretty good series and a pretty good series off the rush as well as east to west. So it's not like they're a team that you have to only worry about them in zone. Their numbers are good. I've got papers coming out of my ears here, so I can't find it at this moment. But no, their numbers are very good. Dallas is not going to be easy for him to play against. Okay. But if the Edmonton Oilers can bring the play into the zone and just let them settle in and play it that way, that would be advantageous for them for sure.
No question, Ottinger was the better goalie of the league MVP or close to of it in Hellebuck here. So there's got to be a huge advantage now for Ottinger over Skinner or maybe Pickard down the road.
You know, look, I just found the sheet that I was looking for, which was east to west opportunities that have ended up in goals. And Dallas actually is leading the playoffs with 36 east to west plays. And so Edmonton is second with 33. Both goalies are going to be moving in this series. You know, this could open up. Didn't you guys think the Colorado-Dallas series was really wide open? You know, it was off the rush, and it was go, go, go. I don't think we're going to – you know what it's like? It's these teams are going to try and come out in the first period, feel each other out, and then a hockey game breaks out. Everybody gets away from what the coaches want them to do, and they just want to go – because the egos step up, and there's certainly a lot of high-powered offense on both sides. If I was going to grade the best depth offense in the NHL through all four lines, I'd give it to Dallas. And I've been saying that since Christmas. And so that's something to consider, too. I mean, Edmonton's going to have to really shut it down because they're going to want to. These are the top two teams, as I said, in east-to-west offense, looking for opportunities that way.
Valley, you send me some really interesting stuff, and I appreciate that. Thank you on Bobrovsky and breakaways and how he looks. Yep. Yeah, so he's not as great as I thought he was in conclusion.
I know, so
however, though, Carolina, that's a fast team that creates a lot of action on there. Your thoughts on Bob versus Carolina here?
Yeah, so I think that when you're talking about Bobrovsky, I think that sometimes you get surprised because he has the look. You know, he has the look where he's over his skates and he really looks like he's hovering over you.
Yeah.
And he did look commanding in that breakaway that he faced against Lorenz. Now, Lorenz chose to shoot it, but 30 feet too soon.
Wasn't great.
But, like, he looked the part. But I also I'm watching it again, and I'm saying, oh, geez, like, he kind of looked like he was just standing up and guessing that the shot was going to come high, and it hit him. Mm-hmm. And I took a couple of notes there. And, of course, when I'm watching the game, I'm saying, all right, well, what notes are going to reflect what's actually happening in the big piece of things? And oftentimes if I see a goalie poke checking, that means they don't believe in themselves on breakaways, or a guy that stands up doesn't really believe on themselves on breakaways. And when the Lorenz shot was taken, if he had a shot five hole from there, certainly had he gotten closer, but had he shot five hole, he would have scored on that one. And Carolina, they give up a lot off the rush as well. And Florida, as we know, they want to shut down and suppress the rush. I think that this is going to be really the challenge of Anderson to outplay what Bobrovsky is going to be trying to accomplish with his game. And if Carolina can sometimes find Florida with their pants down a little bit, they can counterpunch. They can have those jailbreak chances because, you know, they're pretty fast but not heavy. The way they play their volume game, it lends me to believe anyway that they're going to be able to open the ice up. They're a different team this year. You know, like I was looking at this today here, fellas. In 18-19, this is going back, six seasons, they were a team that was only scoring slot line chances about two per game. And this year they're up to 3.39 because, and that's a 51% increase. It's because they wear you down now and look for an east to west after you've been recovered or have been late to recover pucks. And that's their system. Everybody knows it's coming.
So Bobrovsky, I think, now becomes the 10th goaltender in NHL history to win each of his first three career game sevens. So, you know, Anderson and obviously to a lesser extent, Joseph Woll. Is that just really hard knowing that this guy has got the goods here when you look across 200 feet? Like, did Woll wasn't horrible, but it's hard to go against a guy like that, isn't it, mentally?
No, I didn't like his game, honestly. It's hard to be hard on him because he's also thrust into a position that maybe he's not all the way ready for. The way that I would have said last year Skinner was playing when you could have had Jack Campbell in net. But he's pushed into a situation and he's playing his ass off. But, you know, I don't like the goals against on Sunday. I don't really like any of them. And for different reasons. It's like the two-on-one goal, Jones's goal, it's a shot where, as I was saying with Ottinger, you can't lock in on shooter before the shot comes. I'll tell you what, guys, the first day of retirement for me on my list of things to figure out was I want to go on the ice. I don't know why I didn't do this when I was a player, but I thought of it as soon as I got into coaching. I wanted to know how much more vertical angle was on the short side versus the long side. And what I did, because my goalie coach when I was in Edmonton was Pete Peters, I took some fishing line and then I brought it down to the puck where I wanted shot from, the face-off dot. And that was on the left side, goalie's left, meaning high glove. There's actually, it's amazing because I've got a couple pucks here. It's actually this much distance.
This rules.
2 inches.
Yeah.
There's two more inches on the short side than there is on the long side.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, it's 2 inches. Now, the other thing that's really interesting is when you look at that Seth Jones goal, he drags the puck, all right? So when you see that Woll locks in on the shot, he'll go from his stance where his feet are under him, and then he goes wide right before the release. But it's too soon because when Seth Jones drags the puck, the other exercise I went through was how does a shooter open up the net on a goalie? Well, for every 4 inches the shooter drags the puck from the outside to the middle of the ice, the net opens up an additional inch. So quickly, 4, 8, 12, 16 inches is roughly what Seth Jones drags the puck because he's on the right side of the ice, is in a right-handed shot, and he brings it across and he goes long side. Now, for long side shots to go in, you have to make two mistakes as a goalie. You have to lose your angle, which Joseph Woll did because he didn't adjust across on the drag. He couldn't because he already got wide before the release, so he got stuck. So essentially, Seth Jones drags the puck 4, 8, 12, 16, which is room for a goal and an inch. And if you let this play long enough, you'll see the replay from the Fletch cam, which is behind the net, TV term, and you'll see that he locks right there, yeah. And then he can't drag. He wasn't able to get across. So I don't like that goal.
The only thing, if it's post and in, that's the only, right?
It's not a
but it's not even
shot.
Post. It's not a perfect shot. And it didn't need to go.
Pretty as far, good.
I know it's a great shot, but it's.
Great shot.
He had too much net. He gave him too much net on the drag you're talking about.
Yeah, so now what I'm saying to myself is what would I do to advise this young goalie to improve over the summer, all right? In his 4 years as a Leaf, he's faced 28 two-on-ones where the puck carrier has shot it on him, all right? He has a .679 save percentage. That ranks 62nd out of 64 goalies that qualify. Oof. With a minimum 25 two-on-ones faced where the puck carrier shoots it. Just like that goal. Lankinen, 921 save percentage. Logan Thompson, 918 save percentage, compared to a 679. Do you know what we do now, guys, in this day and age, because we have the access? Go and watch out what those guys are doing. Mm-hmm. What are they doing differently, depth-wise? How do they keep their feet under them so they can adjust their angle, right? Because, again, there's two mistakes. Misses angle and then tracks back. And the reason why he tracks back, he can't track down, is because he's reaching now at a puck that no longer has the net in front of him, all right? So that was goal number one. Goal number two, bad rebound on Marchand's shot to start the play. That should have been a dead puck right off the hop. And setting expectations for goalies, guys, you know what that means to me? All shots from the top of the circles out, it's not just a save, guys. It's controlled. That Marchand one comes in his belly. He needs a freeze there. It spits out, comes around the net, ends up in the back of the net. But to me, again, I'm just track it back. Several seconds or three touches. That one should be dead. Goal number three is off of the angle. He's not set. He kicks out a bad rebound. That's a bad rebound. It's a pass off the rebound. Difficult scoring chance. But again, he starts it. Goal number four is a low danger deflection off the ice. Should have it. That's NHL standard. So this year, that's when I knew the game was over. I mean, it was already getting out of hand anyway. Yeah. But this year in the postseason, it's 74% chance to lose if your goalie gives up a bad goal and the other guy doesn't. Regular season was 86%. But now you got the top guys going every night. Goal number five is step off the angle, and he sets the screen on himself. He was off angle. So if I'm Joseph Woll, I've had a great season. I love my year. But, man, is there a lot of learning here. And you know what, kid? Don't take the summer off, man. You don't have it figured out. Get to work. Get ready, because it's a big year next year, and you don't want to rest on your laurels.
I had that thought with some of these guys who were just recently eliminated. It's like, I can tell you who's going to have a good year next year by the guys who get back at it soonest. That's certainly a big part of it. So quick question then is, you know, we talked a lot about pressure in the first hour for the Leafs. People have been talking about the market. For players, that they tend to clam up under pressure. They don't skate as much. They hesitate. What does pressure look like for a goaltender? Is there a typical way it shows itself?
Buddy, if I ran you through my first game in Toronto, oh my God. I mean pressure. Like, and I get it. I've been reading the headlines, and there's so much attention that you love it. It makes you rise up. It makes you play better. Maybe because you're on edge. I felt like, personally, I don't know how you guys felt, but I struggled when I got complacent. Mm-hmm. When I was complacent, I got smoked. You know, and if when I was on edge or pressure, play better. So, you know, it's almost like, what did I come across today? I was laughing about. Remember Devin Cooley 2 years ago? We're all going to die anyway, right?
That's right.
It was after his 49 saves against Seattle. Like, we're all going to die anyway. I'm like watching the game, and I just wish the guys would have had a thought like that, because when Berube says it's all mental, it is.
Right.
Boys, like, can we back check? The back check is non-existent. If you don't back check, you can't set yourself up at all. Mm-hmm. The goalie has zero reads. It's just a complete cluster. But I know that I felt like it heightened my intentions. Like, I'll never forget it. We're coming in on the bus, right? We land, and Shanny stands up at the back of the bus, and he goes, "Hey, Valley, who's starting tomorrow?" And this is my first start, guys, in the 16th game of the season. I haven't even moved into my apartment yet, because I haven't got the pink slip. I'm the last guy on the team. I sit next to Henrik. Hank turns around. He goes, "Valley's playing." And then Shanny goes, "Ooh."
Thanks, Shanny. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, he goes, "Matt Sundin's going to be licking his chops." And then he's going through the whole thing where, like, we're going through his old neighborhood. He said, "That's where I kissed so-and-so, my first kiss, going back to the hotel." And Glenn Sather comes in and he goes, "Hey, guys, we're going to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame right now. We got to sign autographs." I'm like, do I really need to sign 300 autographs for the next 2 hours, the night before my first start in Toronto? Got my parents calling me, telling me they rent a limo. They're already partying. I'm like, what are you guys partying about? It might not go right. Like, you know, I'm trying to get everything
slow. Pump the brakes here.
Oh, big time. The next day, it was the elementary school going to the pregame skate. Every time I let one in pregame, I got 11,000 kids behind me cheering. Before the game, I run into one of the girls that's working there that I used to date in high school. That was a distraction. Like, it was everywhere. It was a complete gong show. But the funny thing is we go to overtime into a shootout. Who's the last shooter? Matt Sundin, righty.
Oh, I know. I think
this
I remember
I've
this.
My whole life. Yeah, it was the Hall of Fame game. You must have been there, Kipper.
Oh, yeah.
And he brings it back. And Barney, I dropped my glove like below my kneecap. I know he's going high glove. If he goes anywhere else, it's in.
Yeah.
So he goes high glove and I get a piece of it. It goes to the air. Anyhow, Shanny comes up to me first. He's like, I knew you had this. You know,
yeah, that's awesome.
And then we go into the locker room and we had the Hall of Fame guys were all in the room and I got a standing ovation. It's one of the best days of my life.
Wow.
But when I look at that game afterwards, I'm saying, all right, I did it once. But can I do that 50 times a year?
Right.
That's what I wonder sometimes. I mean, that's the pressure these guys are dealing with. And that's why I think sometimes you get a ripcord because you can't fail if you don't play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my antenna is always up when, you know, you see a guy get touched a little bit. And, you know, you guys know me. I always wonder about stuff like that.
You know,
that's great.
Just watching these playoffs, Valley, and I know maybe it's just me because I've watched the Leafs so much, but like, passing's really hard in dangerous areas here, and maybe it's just more of players being told to dump and chase, but the block shots are gone to another level this time of year, and it's so hard to get pucks to the net and through these days. Like, what do the numbers say comparing the playoffs to the regular season?
Well, I'll start with just seeing the last game, because as I was watching the last game, now the Leafs had 4 high danger chances in the first period. They had 5 in the game overall. Okay. In the first period, they had the Pacioretty one that was net front where Bob gets an arm on it. It was a good save. The Nylander one where he kind of fades away and he's just misses it. But those two guys, to me, they're on their heels a little bit. They're not as Kipper, you'd want them to be, like maybe even Nylander, stop on the puck there and play it, you know, drive it home.
Yeah.
We saw Edmonton advance on Aiden Hill like that. Right? Just stop on a play and hammer it. I think it was Kapanen. So we also saw the Scott Laughton breakaway and the Steve Lorenz breakaway. And I thought this was interesting. Okay, we've already sort of talked about the breakaway he shot too soon, right? So what do you think? I look up. Are these guys even good on breakaways? Like, it could have been maybe somebody else on the team, right?
Right.
So Scotty Laughton, not bad, actually. He's had 31 breakaways
last
3 years. Yes. Well, you know, Philly led the league in breakaways last year. I know this one offhand because it's a funny one, but they had 40. This is not this past season, 2 seasons ago. They had 42 breakaway goals 2 years ago, and the Rangers had 9.
Oh, wow.
Like,
so, sorry, you're talking Laughton. Laughton had 31 breakaways. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Laughton. So Laughton, he comes from Philly and all that, but they do run and gun. They lead in rush and all that jazz. So 31 chances over the last 3 years, 9 goals. Steve Lorenz, 15 breakaway chances over the last 3 years, 2 goals. So maybe not your best guy to go,
yeah.
Right? Anyhow, as I went through it, I'm saying to myself, okay, so who's getting inside? Who's getting inside the most? Who's getting high danger chances? And of course, after the loss, the morning after, you're looking at this type of stuff. So second round versus Florida, high danger slot area scoring chances in the series. In the series, Matthew Nyes, 6. And then you got to go all the way down the list. And it's Marner with 2, Matthews with 2. You know, and that one hurts me because those are the guys that need to get each other in. You know, get each other in. And just didn't see it. Tavares had 2 as well. So there's 3 of your big boys. Nylander had 4. All right. So that's where your big boys are. And then you're looking at what it was against, because I'm watching the same game as you guys, and I'm seeing a lot of the same characters out there for the big chances against. And Tavares was on during the series for 11 high dangers against. And this is all at 5-on-5. Nylander, 11 high danger against. Riley led in a bad way in the second round with 21 high danger against.
I mean,
and Carlo was unshocked. 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those guys just got smoked. But I mean, yeah, it's hard to get inside. But typically, when you're looking at a good team that's getting through right now, you're seeing a lot of 8s and a lot of 7s and 6s over the course of a series. Where with the big boys here, we're just seeing 2s. And that's a big deal for me.
Would you have the numbers across the league on who, what names are the big boys across the league getting those numbers?
I don't have it in front of me, but I saw it today, and it is. It's like, it's Connor, it's Rantanen, it's the guys that are getting through. I mean, I'll send it to you guys later on, but it's Everybody else's big boys played big. Mm-hmm. You don't get through, and
yes,
you know, kind of oftentimes just looks this way. Sorry, you know, and I get it. There's, you know, guys are going to take a lot of heat for this, and you know, I even heard a few things like sometimes it's even tough to leave the house. I lived that too, boys. I was in Russia one year when I had an 897. I thought I was going to get shot.
Oh my god! Oh my god! You know, stop laughing. He's not joking.
No, it's a fair concern.
Hey, Barney, when I would carry my bag at the Red Army through the entrance, okay, because we got to carry our own stuff. We don't have that in the KHL.
Yeah.
There are two guys at the doorway with M16s. I'm trying not to bump them with my pads because that thing might go off.
Oh my God, man.
Could you stop it?
Yeah, I've heard some stories. It sounds terrifying. But you made it. You made it to get to tell us all these great stories.
I made it. Hey, we all die anyway, right?
Well, exactly.
That's a great attitude.
You know what? All I learned today about you is you're somebody, you're nobody, and you're everybody.
Sammy, I hope you're doing all right, pal. That was a tough one.
All good, brother. Heading in the right direction.
Hey, Valley, as always, thanks for doing this,
great
pal.
Great stuff. Appreciate it, Valley.
My pleasure, guys. Have Steve a great rest
Valley
of your
Cat,
week.
Valley Cat, CEO, ClearSight Analytics.
21 high danger chances against.
Yeah, it's not the Leafs hour, but I'm ready to have that conversation at some point. If you can't be better with Brandon Carlos, like, they're out of guys to make you better, you might be the problem.
21 is crazy. And Tavares and Willie, I mean, if you're, sorry to do that, it's national hour, but like, if you're offering Tavares a contract, that's like, look at this number, sir. Mm-hmm. Hope you listen to Valley's Deep in the Valley on Tuesdays, because we heard some things
is
about
that the
you.
Official name of the segment?
I don't know.
We're going to sell that next year.
Deep in the Valley?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
An outdoor company or something.
Anyways, it's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So as you guys were talking to Valley there, I was getting a little creative on Bet365. And you can bet on in the specific series. So let's say, for example, you think that Leon Draisaitl is going to have a monster series against the Dallas Stars okay. to propel them into the Stanley Cup final. You can bet on Leon Draisaitl to have four plus goals in the series, 3+ goals in the series, or 5+ goals in the series. You can bet them on 2 or whatever. So it's kind of fun to look through these. But I'm looking at the number here for Leon Draisaitl, who is +130 to have 4 goals in the series. They're playing a 7-game series against these guys. I actually think that's a pretty good number.
You're making the bet on how long.
Four guys, four so out of a potential 6 or 7 games.
But you're betting on how long.
A lot of goals.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen his playoff numbers there, Kip, but he's been a bit of a horse for them.
But now you're up against a
okay, how about three?
Deeper blue line and a hot goaltender. Yeah.
Three. Three is -190.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
See, there's a big difference to Bet365 between
3 to 4 is huge.
Leon come out and have 2 tonight, and all of a sudden it changes.
But all he needs is one hat trick.
A game.
What about 5 goals? Can I interest you in 5 goals for Leon Draisaitl?
Let's hear the number.
+400 for
now
5 goals.
Funky.
Miko Rantanen bet him +550 at that number. Connor McDavid +650. So just an interesting way to bet on the on that series. And I'm just quickly looking at the line for tonight. The Florida Panthers are +110 tonight for the against the Carolina Hurricanes, who are -130. I think some money has come in on the Carolina Hurricanes because when I placed a wager earlier today on the Florida Panthers, they were at +105. So people are betting on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. And looking ahead to tomorrow night for the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars, Edmonton's slight underdogs at +105. Dallas, the favorites in that game, at -125. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break. And when we return, we'll get into some NHL news and notes, including a general manager who's got a nice extension. The question is, did he deserve it? That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. As a reminder, This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As I mentioned before the break, Boston Bruins signed general manager Don Sweeney to a two-year contract extension. This coming off the heels of the Boston Bruins missing the playoffs. I didn't see that coming.
I wonder if this was like he bet on Florida to get to the third round so they could get the first pick or first rounder for Marchand. He got the first rounder. Great job. Here's an extension. I mean, what went well? Why else would he be getting an extension other than them getting a first for Marchand?
If you look at that roster right now, I don't think many people would believe that they're going to come back and make the playoffs. Do you?
I mean, I kept looking at the Daily Faceoff, just has a list of forwards. Top line is Geeky on it. Kuznetsov on the second line with Lysell, Koepke, Mittelstadt, Lettieri. Like, the Lindholm deal didn't work.
I watch hockey every day and talk about hockey every day. I've never heard of two guys on their second line.
Farinacci.
So, I'm just wondering what if they miss the playoffs again next year, what does a two-year deal do for him?
It's like severance, right? Yeah,
sure.
But I don't
but, know. I mean, this could be a 3 or 4 year, 5 year program here.
Do you think they're back into contention? You know, what on their roster makes you think they're going to do that? You're right. Like Mason Lowry, top pairs at Aura. Fraser Minton better be real good.
I hope he's bad, in fact. Sorry, Fraser, but
I like him.
I really hope you don't turn into Patrice
Bergeron
2.0.
I like Carlo a ton, and I don't have regrets for the Leafs there, but I like Minton a lot.
Yeah.
Lindholm. A safe pickup.
One C.
I did mention in yesterday's program, I'm not sure if I did it in the Leaf Edition or the National Hour, that, and you I think you said, oh, now you say that, but Brad Marchand, in terms of resigning in Florida, I think it'll be too challenging, knowing that you may want to take another crack at Sam Bennett, but if he's out there and he didn't get that extension from the Boston Bruins, somebody may give it to him.
Who are you talking about?
Brad Marchand.
I know, but what team you're saying Florida won't?
I don't know. If,
of course someone will.
Yeah, but like 4 years, like could he potentially be looking for a Stamkos type of contract?
Mm.
And we know it didn't work out well in Nashville, but that's not to say that Stamkos can't have a rebound year in Nashville, and maybe it was too much of something else that Nashville's got to rebalance. But Marchand went from a guy that was, put it this way, I talked to maybe two or three teams after Four Nations, and they told me flat out, he can't skate anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
can't keep up.
Watching Four Nations, it was tough right? not to leave with that conclusion.
For sure. But we are also talking about, like, the best on the planet getting together to play a hockey game here. And although that we can
the level of that was out of this world.
It's the playoffs aren't as fast as that.
No, there's nothing like what that was.
There's still like legitimate fourth line guys
in
the playoffs in the final four, and it's not as fast.
Mm-hmm.
And now Marchand looks really good again.
Mm-hmm.
That line killed the Leafs. Killed the Leafs.
I'm trying to find on Hockey Reference where they've got Hart Trophy votes. Marchand got Hart Trophy votes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 separate seasons in the NHL. And he's been underpaid his whole career, right? He's made $68 million. I know that's a lot of money. He's been
worth
double that.
He's not participated in the new money, and he got caught up in the, I can't get paid past Bergeron.
Internal cap they had.
Right?
There,
who set the Boston?
It was Bergeron.
Bergeron.
Yeah.
Right. So he did it. He signed it. He lived with it. Didn't complain. Didn't whine. Kept playing hard. But when he asked for the money that he thinks he could possibly make up in Boston, they told him, "Go pound salt."
So I think what choice he'll face then is, do you want to play your dying years in the NHL, wrong word, end years in the NHL, chasing Stanley Cups? Do you want to be part of good teams? Do you want to be in the hunt? Or do you want to get as much money as you can? And, you know, to me, Steven Stamkos made a decision. He was insulted. I think Tampa Bay tried to sign him for, what, like 8 years at $3 million a year. They wanted to give him, like, some, you know, we'll get you the dollar amount, just retire partway through to injury.
I wanted the Ilya Kovalchuk Devils deal.
Yes.
That's what they wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. And he ends up, he went where he could get the very most money.
Yeah.
And it didn't go good. So what's Marchand going to want to be? He's too competitive to just go play for money in Anaheim
next
year.
The one thing I believe that is going to happen again, because of the salary cap rising, is that there seems to be a level of belief that if you're Marchand or maybe Bennett or certainly Marner, that if you want to go chase your money, you're going to have to go to Chicago. You're going to have to go to all these lower teams. And it's like, it's not true. There's going to be opportunities for these guys to sign a big number on contending teams.
Yeah, but if I'm looking at Brad Marchand, and I'm a contending team, no chance this 4 years on a guy who you think is slowing down considerably makes sense. You know, what did he have for points this year? It's 47 points this year.
Do you think it makes sense for the Leafs to give him 4 years?
Absolutely not. No.
Please, God, do it. Yeah.
See the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a dumb fan. He's smart.
Right? Okay, outside of Marner leaving, how competitive can you be with a guy like Marchand and Austin and Willie? And you've been missing that component for 10 years in Toronto of a guy that's willing to get greasy, down and dirty, greasy.
Yeah.
Do you think, that he would sign here?
Didn't the Leafs have, a decade where they went and got expired superstars?
Yes.
Okay, right? I'm sorry. Which one was greasy and dirty?
Didn't they get
Wayne Simmons was pretty greasy and dirty.
No, I'm not talking about recently. Aren't you talking about your era Leafs?
You mean little Glenn Wesley in there, little Phil Housley, little Ron Francis.
Yes, and
little
Lindros come here for his game. All the
Gary Roberts.
You know what's funny? I'll bring those years back.
For God's sake.
Just give it another try.
Like, you can't just get a guy because they've been awesome. Like, you want to look forward, not back.
Bring him in.
Yeah, and then you're doing locker cleanout April 17th and May 17th, and we got a lot of shows to do after that.
Sammy would be content for just seeing him cross-check someone and knocking out some teeth.
Yeah, but then he gets suspended for 50 games because he's a Leaf.
It still would be worth it to
Wait till Sam Bennett's here and playing for 8.5 per season concussing guys, Sammy. The suspensions are going to be Chris Simon-esque.
I don't know.
Anyhow, man. I think he would sign here. I do. Do you?
I think he'll go anywhere he could make money and have fun.
You mentioned Montreal yesterday.
For who?
Marchand,
yeah.
Totally see
that. Canada boy.
Could totally see that.
And also, his entire essence has been crushing the spirit of Leafs fans. Yeah. Going to Montreal would be...
I could see it.
Yes, the resistance.
I could see it. I think the Jets cleaned out their lockers today as well. And I was interested in what Connor Hellebuyck had to say, because last year,
worried about this.
Last year, he made some news, I would say, at the locker cleanout.
Yeah.
And I cut a clip from him about playoff goaltending, and I don't know if it's bad or not. Let's play. It's in there. Hellebuyck clip one on playoff.
Goaltending in the playoffs is different than goaltending in the regular season.
Not a whole lot. I mean, every team plays it different, and you know, I think there's just the way the NHL goes. Like, sometimes goals are going to happen and goals go in, and you know, there's not always something you can do about it. As far as my game goes, I'm always trying to do something about it, but you don't want to do too much, and that's a big takeaway that I have, is I can't focus on doing everything. I just got to stick to my game and play my game, and I know it's going to, in the long run, even things out. Bad bounces happen, and sometimes you can't control them. In playoffs, a lot of chaos happens. Just trying to control that chaos was some big takeaways this year, and, you know, I maybe added a little bit of depth for playoffs, but, you know, when I finally started realizing that my game works and I want to play my game, I started having fun, a lot more fun. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's when I play my best, is when I'm having a lot of fun out there.
Is it bad?
I didn't mind it. No, okay. It's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Okay.
Okay.
Compared to last year, it's pretty good.
I believe that he shouldn't kill himself. I mean, in terms of beating himself up in a press conference. And
he redeemed himself a little bit at times.
He's right. It's sport. There's bounces. There's this time next year, if he has another one, I hope it's a lot better sounding than this in terms of feeling maybe worse. But I'm okay with what he said.
I'd be interested in hearing what Jets fans think of that. Like, if they wanted more ownership from him, you know, kind of giving himself the pass on there. You can't stop them all, and there's bad bounces. And
a lot of bad bounces in the first round. The ice is bouncy in St. Louis, boy.
He got through. This isn't a team that's going to get dismantled. They're going to get another crack at it.
Yeah. I like the guy. I like the goal.
They're going to team. If it's not Nick Ehlers back, it'll be someone close like that. I think they can go get Brock Nelson.
Great.
I think he would gladly go there, and they'd be happy to give him $7 or $8 million.
I think, though, the answer to is playoff hockey different from regular season hockey? How can you say no? Like, there's more.
Of course it is.
Yes. There's more traffic and bumping and screens and shots from the point and desperation. It's definitely different.
Meeting starts with take the goalie's eyes away.
Yes, and so if you're a goalie who has success playing deep in your net, maybe you need to make a small adjustment and try to be on top of those tips more before they have more room to change direction. It's different.
Puck just kept going in the net.
I don't think it was anything terrible. I just think you'd like a little bit more.
Yeah. And he's a really good student.
He's the best in the world. He watches more than anyone on the planet.
And also more.
Would you send him to summer school, though?
No, he doesn't need it. He does it himself, Kip. One-man summer school.
Morrissey says today at the clean-out that he would have been sidelined for the rest of the Jets playoff run with his knee injury.
Yeah, that was
awkward.
Awkward.
He's so good.
I basically knew kind of right away that I was injured, and I obviously left some, so just frustration.
My knee doing the old.
You probably know pretty quick.
So that's the one time that it's like legit, like, he's hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I do go to that way too much in general. I'm not talking about Austin Matthews today in Toronto, but in general, the media just loves going to find out who was hurt and what they were hurt.
But LeBron James couldn't even go to the Met Gala. His hammy hurt so much. So
hammy.
I don't know what the hell it was, but he said he couldn't go to the Met Gala. So, you mentioned Morrissey being so good. I think we talk about the most underrated guys, and I think he does get underrated in terms of how good he is. I mean, him at that Four Nations, when he wasn't playing in the finals, like, oh, boy, that's a huge blow. He was really good for Canada. So I like Morrissey.
Me too.
But the pounding some of these guys have taken in just even half a playoff round, let's face it, they're not even halfway. Like, they are halfway through, but that's the kind of feeling. And I went to a conference final with the Washington Capitals, and you're like, still look around. There's only four teams left, and you're like, wow, we're really close to a Stanley Cup.
So far, you're not.
Still need eight more.
You need the same thing you just did twice.
Yeah,
you got to do it two more times.
So the Chris Tanev hits taken thing. Yeah. I tweeted yesterday.
100 and what?
Is 107, 106, 107, and then the second highest was 57. 12. it was like half, though.
He's a pinata.
It was like just under half. And, like, you know, I got a lot of different responses to that. And a lot of that is, and I want to ask you, that's a massive disparity. A lot of people are too slow, or he can't, you know, they were blaming him for taking all those hits, where a lot of people like to say willing to take the hit to make a play, warrior, you know. I think you can kind of see what you want on that. But
I think if they would have found a way to beat Florida, he would have recovered nicely against Carolina compared to Florida.
Yeah.
Florida, like,
tough matchup.
They're one of the most physical teams probably in the, like, I know there were their Broad Street Bully days, but that was different. This team is as physical without, I think, you know, the Dave Schultz of the world, Selezkis, and
tell Jacob Slavin to keep his head up this time as Sam Bennett on the ice.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Love that hit.
All right. Just like that, 2 hours and solved nothing on our show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the game tonight, 8 p.m. on Sportsnet.